Good vach ravosai. Today's daf is Shabbos daf kuf chaf. We are holding at the bottom of kuf yud tes amud beis. We've been talking about a bunch of things that had unfortunately caused the destruction of Yerushalayim, and we are four lines up from the bottom with Rava. I think says the last one, if I'm not mistaken, and it says like this: Amar Rava lo charva Yerushalayim ela bishvil shepasku mimena anshe amana. Yerushalayim was destroyed because with people who were trustworthy, truthful people were gone. There were no more trustworthy people. Shnamar's pasuk says, "Shazdu b'chutzos Yerushalayim v'ru na'adu u'bikshu b'char v'oseh imtimzu ish osa mishpat mevagesh emuna ve'eslachla." Right, go see if you find anybody who's osa mishpat mevagesh emuna and ve'eslachla, and I'll forgive it. And obviously, the implication was that there was no one like that. Any eye, is that really true? V'amar Rav Katina. Afilu b'shas kishlona shi Yerushalayim, even at the destruction at the lowest point of Yerushalayim's history, lo pasku imena anshe amona, but apparently they were not missing any truthful, trustworthy people. Shenamar, as Buzik says, kizvos ish be'echav beis aviv simla lecha katzin tiyel lanu dvarim shibnei adar tiyel lanu. You'll grab a person's shirt and say, "Be like God. Be for us a katzin. Be for us an officer. Be in charge of us." And the Gemara explains, "Dvarim shebnei adam is kasim behem gesimla yeshna biadecha." Right, stuff that you have that you cover yourself with like a clothing are in your hand. The Rashi says, fascinating that people shasholinos on taimei Torah halalu, right? The divrei Torah people were. They didn't listen to questions of Torah because they didn't know anything. They didn't know how to respond. Fascinating, this Rashi, at the end of the Rashi, says, "Kishemalin nas divrayim," right? They would hide mipnei inan yodin laheshiv. They didn't know any. They had to respond. And yeshnen biadecha and atabaki. Really, you know what you're talking about. The fikach katzin tiyalanu slam denu chachma. Right? Be in awe. The pasuk says the people used to ask, "Be in charge of us. Be our rosh yeshiva. Be our rabbanim." And what would happen? What does that mean? And the dvar is the dvarim she'in bnei adam umdim aleihem ela imkein nichshalim bahem yeshnam biat tachas yadecha. Right? It's talking about divrei Torah. Why is divrei Torah called it's something that you're nichshal, stumbling block? Because you have to stumble over it until you really, really understand it. You learn it once, twice, three times. Meaning these people used to ask, "Does anybody have divrei Torah? Does anybody know the Torah and katzin tiyalanu? And be in charge of us. Be a rav. Be an officer for us." Yisabei amahule mor lo yeh chovesh. And a person will say, "No, I'm not going to be the leader." Ein yesha el loshon shvua, and that's the language of taking a shvua. Shevachinu umra lo zisa sheis shem Hashem. Don't take the name of Hashem in vain. Lo yeh chovesh. What does that mean? Lo yeh mechov she'atzma beis hamedrash. I'm not going to be, or I wasn't one of the people who were, just sitting down and learning in the Beis Medrash. Uvevesi ein lechem vein simla. And in my house, I have no bread, I have no clothing. Shein biyadi lo mikro lo mishna lo gemara. People are going to say, "I'm not able to be your officer of Torah." I mean, apparently, you see, what does that imply? That there were trustworthy people. People were truthful. Obviously, they were ignorant, which is terrible, but they, at least they didn't try and fake it. So the Gemara says, umi mai. So how do you know that means they were trustworthy? Maybe over there, if they would say that they were learned, amrulay, okay, emalon, and havle lamimar, emalon, meaning they would say, "Okay, fine, if you know Torah, so tell us something." And then the guy who didn't know anything, he'd be stuck. Meaning it was a milsa vida legluye, something that would end up being found out. It's not something you can lie about, right? Be our Rosh Hashiva, okay. Give a Shabbos drasha. Well, if he doesn't know anything, so he can't lie about it. So maybe they're just like saving themselves from further embarrassment. Gemara says, "Emalon havala lemeiman gamar v'shachach." Because no, they could have just said, "Oh, you know what? I learned that, but I forgot it. Let me go look it up." Apparently, from the fact that they didn't say that, they apparently were being trustworthy. And my Luya Chovesh, what does it mean? I'm not going to be the officer. I didn't learn Torah in the Beis Medrash. Klal, meaning I didn't know anything. So apparently people were trustworthy, that instead of saying, "Oh, I knew it, but I forgot it," it must have been that they were honest and they said, I don't know anything. So you see that there were trustworthy people in Shalayim. Gemara says, no, Lokasha, Kamadi Meteora, Kamba Maso Mata. That no, in a Khanami, that there were people who were truthful about their lack Torah knowledge. But when Rava says there were no more people who were trustworthy, so that means in business. Fascinating that people were, you know, stealing all over the place. It was totally dishonest, right? We know that the Mabul, Dor Mabul, was destroyed because of Hamas, and the Midrashim talk over there about how there was a whole breakdown in society in terms of, right, people would steal less than a Pachas Mishah, Pachas Mishah Pruta, they would steal less than the amount that they could prosecute them in court. Right? They would take one nut, and then another nut, and at the end of the day, the guy who was selling nuts was left with no nuts, because everybody took one. Right? There was no concept of fair business in play, as you see over here, that taka over here by Yerushalayim also, it was true, that there was so much ganvening, so much stealing. Before we start the next mission, I'd be remiss to mention, right, we're holding right before, this week is Shavuos Batamas, we're holding right before the 3 weeks. To be remiss to mention, there's a crazy marsha, not crazy, there's a very powerful marsha on this Gemara, right? The Gemara just listed, like, I don't know, 7-8 things that caused the destruction of Yerushalayim. They didn't treat the Rabbanim with kavod, they weren't honest in business, they were mevatel, the learning of the younger kids, you know, they didn't treat that with proper respect and urgency, they were mechal Shabbos, a bunch of things. So the marsha basically says in his time, and I think it's certainly unfortunately true in our time as well, that was also, his generation was also guilty of all of those chatoim, and certainly nowadays when we should be thinking about, you know, what we can do to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, right, that's what Chazal say, that any generation that doesn't have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt in their days, it's as if they destroyed it. So it could be because, unfortunately, we suffer from the same chatoim that plagued the generation whether the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. All right, Mitzvah Shem, Ayin Shem, if you want to look a little further, check out the Marsha. It's pretty intense. Okay, new Mishnah, Vayter. Mishnah says like this. We've mentioned before that you can save some stuff from a burning house. So the Gemara, the Mishnah here, kind of elaborates on that. Matzil and sal mali kikaros. You can save a basket full of a ton of pieces of bread, loaves of bread. Avo pishe yeshbo me'asudos. Even though it's enough for, right, we said before you can only save 3 meals. But here, even if you have 100 pieces of bread, 100 meals, so you can save it if it's in one basket. Vigo shel dvela, and you can save a fig cake. V'chavis shel yayin, a barrel of wine. Even though these were obviously these were bigger, the barrel is obvious, but the fig cake was also big. And you can take them out even though it's more than 3 meals. V'omer lecherem, you can take to other people both. V'atzu lechem, come save some food for yourselves. And if the people were smart, so then they would kind of cheshbon out how much to get paid for their efforts. I think we're going to talk about this exactly, you know, why they were smart, why they're considered smart, and, you know, you're really, as just a phrase value, so you're not really supposed to get paid for your work on Shabbos, as an Isser of Schar Shabbos. That's right. Again, but Rashi says that at this point, at least in the Mishnah, the Mishnah means lishol scharam kipolim, that after Shabbos you should kind of work out your wages. You know, there's a din derabbanan, you're not allowed to do schar Shabbos. We're learning already. We do a sefer with the kids every at least every meal we sit together. So we are talking about now about schar Shabbos, that you may come to write down business dealings. You're not allowed to do schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to get money for any work that you do exclusively on Shabbos. So how does that work exactly? Why are the people smart if they're going to get money? So the Gemara will talk about this. So the Mishnah continues, and it says, Le'ichan matzilan osam. This is what, again, we've touched upon this before. Where can you save all this stuff to? So the Gemara, the first opinion of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says, the chatzer hamurevis, to a chatzer that has an eruv. Right, and that is the chiddush is, obviously, that you can take anything out to a chatzer hamurevis, it's mutter completely. But as we said before, that perhaps if you're allowed to take out all your stuff, so that you might come to put out the fire. So in this case, Chazal limited the amount of items you're allowed to take out of your house. Right? That's Chatzer Mureves is something you're allowed to carry anything. Right? Even without a fire, that's totally mutter. Ben Becerra says Afla She'enu Mureves. You're even allowed to take it into a courtyard Chatzer that does not have an eruv. And here, Ben Becerra's, you know, understanding, and it's a heder to save your stuff, that you're allowed to take it, even though in general you're not allowed to carry it to the chutzner that doesn't have an eruv. So here, in this case, because of the fire, they were mekel. Ulesha motzi kol klei tashmisho, and there you can take out all of the stuff you need for the meal. Right, you don't need to take out the food. You can also take out, I don't know, fork, knife, whatever. Velovish kol mashayachol lilvos, you can wear all the clothing you can wear. Veotev kol mashayachol latev, and he can wrap himself in not only tzitzis but any other clothing that he can do. And kind of walk out, you know, get out of the house with the, right, you can jump, pile on your clothing, right? Put the coat on top of the coat on top of the coat. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shmonasar Kelim, you can only go out with 18 pieces of clothing. More than that, it's going to be, right, we said that's going to be a masui, something that you're not allowed to take out, if you remember that with Sosuk is, right? You're not allowed to wear something that is not normally worn. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you can't just pile coat upon coat upon coat upon coat. You can only wear up to 18 clothing, and the Gemara will enumerate exactly what he's talking about. V'chozer v'lovei shumotzi, and they can go back in, go back out, and take out some more clothing. V'omer l'achayrim bo v'atzilu imi, and other people will say, you can tell other people, come save with me some other clothing. And if you notice, that's different than it says save lachem before by the food. But here it says clothing and save with me, hitzilu imi. And the Gemara will touch on that as well. Okay, so either way, says the Gemara. I've a ton of the Reisha, Shalosh Sudos, right? Again, we said you can take a basket full of 100 of pieces of bread. So what the Mishnah before had said, you can only take out 3 meals, right? Vesulo, and no, not any more than that. So Rav Huna, Lokasha, Kaim Bavo Lahatil, Kaim Bavo Lekapil. That this Mishnah, when we're talking, you just, what's it called? Our Mishnah, right, you're coming to save food. You're just coming to take out a basket of food, so you can take out as much as in the basket. Kan, but in the Mishnah before, when you're talking about you can only take 3 meals, you're kind of, very interesting, I'm not sure exactly what this means. Rashi writes, it seems like that you're gathering a bunch of baskets together, and therefore, since you're gathering them all together, you know, to put them in like one big box, so you're only allowed to take 3 meals. Let's read Rashi. Bevala kapo. Salim harbe ze im ze. You're taking a lot of baskets with each other. The troach velesfos velachzor lahotzi mazun gimel sudos hu. To bother yourself and to gather this all together and to go back and take out what's the shear? You're only allowed to take out the shear of 3 meals. Hu diyachal lahotzi besalim harbe. That's the shear you're allowed to take out with a lot of different baskets. Besulo shekol echad torech be'atmahu. It seems like it's an issue of tircha, that each one is a tircha in and of itself. So once you have to do the tircha of combining all the baskets of food, throwing everything in your kitchen, opening up all the cabinets and throwing everything in, so that's already, okay, hold on a second, you can only save 3 meals. But if you got a basket that's got 100 pieces of bread in it, so then you're allowed to take it out, just by itself. And as Rashi says, the first Rashi, if you read before that, right, Bevala Hatzil, it seems to be an Indian of Tircha. In the case of the one basket with a ton of food, so it's only one, you know, snatch and grab. You just take it out, put it outside, you're done. Here you're trying to really bother yourself, so Chazal limited it to 3 baskets, to 3 meals, because again, we wanted to make sure that you didn't come to put out the fire. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara, so Bala Hatzil Matzil is Kulan Bala Kapel in a Makapel of the Mazon Shalosh Sudos. Right, okay, fine. Rab Ava Bar Zavda Amar Rav. Then Rav says, no, Idi Bala Kapel. Both the cases, right, this Mishnah or the other Mishnah, is talking about where you're kind of combining food into one basket, or you're taking them all out together, or whatever. Velo Kasha Hanbo Karbo Suchatzer Kam Lachatzer Acharis. We're talking about, and when you're taking it all out to the same courtyard, to the courtyard at your Chatzer. But another chatzer, we're only allowed to take out 3 meals, right, that's already much more tircha, and to take it to another chatzer, right, that's farther away, that's already only going to let you take 3 meals. Okay, fine. Aboy Ravuna Bray Derav Yehoshua. Perish Taliso, V'kipel V'hiniach, V'kipel V'hiniach Mai. Let's say you took off taliso. It doesn't only mean your talis; it means your clothing, your whatever coat you were wearing, and you put food in it and put more food in it. Right? Again, if you can imagine, you kind of like spread out your coat like a big, rug, and then you're going to fold up the rug with all the food inside of it. So, what is that? Is that considered to be again, you're kipel the, well, you'll see the Gemara will say in a second. Is that Kabbalah Hatzel Dami or Kabbalah Kapel Dami? Is that as if you're taking out one, you know, one box? But is that because you're taking all of the baskets and putting it in the single, you know, piece of clothing that you're going to grab up and presumably throw over your shoulder? What is that considered? So Gemara says like this: Amar Rava, from the fact that Rava said Ate Rav Shizvi the Rav Chizda v'darash, that Rav Shizvi made Rav Chizda make a mistake. So we're going to see what this means in a second. And therefore, the mistake was from the fact that we said that statement is a mistake. We see that it's considered as if you're coming ready to be mahatzil, and then v'shaper dami, you're able to take out all. Meaning, and it's as if you're taking out one big basket with all the food, and v'shaper dami, and then it is mozer. Now, what in the world? Well, let's read to the end, and we'll explain what's going on. So what was the mistake? So if you remember, we talked about on Kuf Yud Zayin of Beis, I think. Just have to find it. We had talked about a basket or a barrel of wine on the roof that broke. So I think it was Kuf Yud Zayin of Beis. I have to find it. But basically over there, we said that a barrel of wine broke on the roof. And the question was, what are you allowed to do to save that wine? So he said that you're allowed to take one kli, but you're not allowed to bring a lot of kli, kalim. You're not allowed to bring a lot of kalim. 1 second. Yeah, here, it's gufa. Yeah, okay, well, that's a gufa. But either way, nishbro l'chavis barosha gago, maybe kli maniach tachta. You're allowed to bring a kli if you're losing wine on the barrel on the roof. So you're allowed to bring a kli to save the wine. As long as you don't bring another kli, and you know you're not allowed to take a lot of kalim, right? You can only get one kli, and there's a whole we had a whole question about harama and etc. So basically, what Rashi explains here is that Rav Shizvi told Rav Chizda, it said, and he explained to him that the halacha was that as long as you don't bring more than a kli that can hold 3 meals worth of wine, and that was incorrect. So apparently, the true psak was that you're allowed to take as much as you can. So apparently, you see that if you're taking as much wine as you want, if it's in one kli, i.e. one cloak that you spread on the floor and just piling food in, it's the same thing. Or either one kli gathering wine or one talis, quote-unquote, that you're gathering food into, so that's considered you're like to take, as if you can take as much wine as you want. I kind of stopped a little early, but either way, so let's just read the Gemara again. What was the mistake? How do you know what was the mistake? When the Brisa said, as long as you don't bring another kli and gather up the wine, kli achar v'yitzare, for another kli to make the barrel even with the roof, so that it drips off the side. Kli achar hudalo, you're not allowed to bring another kli. Aval behu mana kama deboy matzil. But the implication is that in the single kli that you're catching all the wine, you're allowed to take as much wine as you can. So we see that it's not true that you're only allowed to take three meals. And that was a mistake. And therefore, we see that, again, similar, comparable to the case where you spread your talus on the floor, you're going to throw a lot of food in there, and therefore, you're allowed to take as much as you want. Okay. We said eagle shal dvela, you're allowed to say, people said, these items of food, the barrel of wine you're allowed to save, bring people to help save food with you, and then we said, if the people are smart, so then they will cheshbon out the schar, the salary for helping save all your stuff from the fire. So Gemara says like this: Cheshbon ma'avite. What kind of cheshbon you need to do? Midef kerek kazachu. Right. Once the fire is going to consume and burn all the stuff, it's already hefker. Right. Why? What do you mean? You have to cheshbon out that you have to pay him back, etc., etc. What are you talking about? Right. That food is gone. Wait, if you didn't have all those people, what would happen? It would get burned up. So nice, it's all hefker. So Rav Chizda, midas chasidus shonakai. We're talking about midas chasidus. Yeah, nechanami. But really, you should work out some sort of payment plan, even though that food is actually technically yours. Amarava chasidi egra the shabbos shakli. Wait, what are you talking about? Hold on a second. from people take Schar Shabbos, take money for their work that they do on Shabbos. Ela Marava Hacha Beir Shemayim Maskina. No, we're talking about Beir Shemayim. V'lo Nichalei D'Litani Me'Acherim. He doesn't want to get Hana from other people. V'chinam Nami Lo Nicha D'Litani D'Litrach. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to spend his time without getting paid back. A person is very yasher. A person is very focused on how he spends his time. He doesn't want to take stuff from other people, but he also doesn't want to just waste a couple of hours. So, v'achikamar, this is what the Mishnah is really saying. V'mayu pikhin, if they're smart, diyadi tekehai gavna lo lav schar Shabbos hu, and that they know that this is not a schar Shabbos situation, meaning it's not osur, it's not considered schar Shabbos. Meaning, so the chacham is not that they get cheshbon stuff out, they're not good in business, they're not a math whiz, they just know the halacha, that they're allowed to take money, because Schar Shabbos in general is something that you kind of, what's it called, you work out in advance. But this is just something that happens now. So you are allowed, they know the halacha, they are allowed to take money for that. So therefore, osin mo cheshbon achar Shabbos, so you can cheshbon out with him how much they can pay you, or the Baal HaBos can pay them, for the work that just kind of cropped up. Okay. Fine. Ulehichar matzilin. Right, we had said, why are you allowed to take these things too? Either to a chotzer, right, a machokas. We had the discussion about how many, what people can wear and what people should not be wearing. So Gemara says, Maishnaha, and we mentioned that there's a difference between the food and the clothing. We said that, by the food it says that people should save lachem for them. But over here it says you should save the clothes, save it with me, meaning with the Baal HaBayis. So the Gemara notices that. It says, Maishna Hacha Dekatani Lachem, Maishna Hacha Dekatani Imi. So Amri, they said, they answered, Gabi Mizanos Katani Lachem. Why does it say Lachem by food? Mishun Deloka Chazu Ela Shalosh Sudos. Because the person, right, Chazal said you should only take out three meals. Yes, if you have a big basket with a ton of food in it, fine. But in general, people don't have, you know, all their food hanging around in the kitchen in one huge basket. So you can't tell someone, oh, save more food for me because your person is limited to three meals. But because it is chazi, it's proper, it's mutter for a person. Right? A person can wear many different clothing. So a person is not limited to the amount of clothing that he can take out. So therefore, you know, people say the phrase is that you know, save all this stuff for me because you know that's already shaykh to him. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, lo beish motzi poshi, is allowed to wear the stuff, go outside, take it off. Chozer lo beish motzi poshi, that's how you take out the clothing, put it on, take it off. Right, if you're saving it from a fire, I feel kol yom kulo, even all day. Devar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi says, Shmonasar Kelim, you can only take out 18 pieces of clothing from a fire. Ve'ilohim Shmonasar Kelim, and these are them. Miktorin is a coat, or at least a piece, maybe a jacket. Unkuli is a coat. Punda is a belt. Kalbos shal pishtan v'choluk. That's a doublet they used to wear, and a tunic, which is like toga style, I think. Apilios is a robe. Maforis is a handkerchief that goes around either a person's head or whatever. Shnei Safarin, that's two things, I guess, leg stockings or some sort of type of thing that go on the leg. Shnei Minalim, two shoes. Shnei Anpilios, two socks. Shnei Pargud, also I'm not sure what Pargud is. Also I think something goes on the leg. The Chagosh of Mosna, then an inner belt, Kovash of Rosho, a hat, Baruch Hashem, black hats, no, I'm kidding. The Sudar Shem Shamaro, and the scarf that goes around a person's neck. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Anas has a new Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon ben Anas Omer Porson or Shalgadi Agabe Shida Teva Umigdal Sha'achas ben Or. Rabbi Shimon ben Anas says you can put, this is already serious in terms of Kibui. You can put Rashi says, a wet, or probably fresh is probably more accurate translation, lach, it's only a single word Rashi over there. You can take a wet or fresh skin of a goat, you can put that over some sort of box or cabinet or whatever that started to burn in order to save, right, let's say the closet or whatever. Mipnei shu michrach, because the goat hair or the goat skin, Rashi says, Eino Nisraf. I'm not sure. As mechrach means it gets like kind of singed a little bit, but mechrach it burnt slightly. But it, apparently, it was some sort of, you know, back in the day they had, I guess, an anti-inflammable cloak or anti-flammable. I don't know. They had like a, I don't know, not a robe, but I don't know, you see like these towels that don't burn or something. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, you throw it over a fire and it wouldn't burn, so you can throw it over, and that will save the what's it called? That will save the box that you're trying to throw it over. We'll see exactly what's going on in terms of, is that kibui? You're putting a fire out. We know you're not allowed to put a fire out. Maybe you can put it out in an indirect manner. That's, we're going to talk about something called gran kibui, which is causing the fire to go out on its own. It's not directly causing it to go out. Okay, so we'll see what exactly was going on over there. Ve'osim mechitza b'chol ha'kelim, and you can make a fence, a mechitza, you know, before the fire, with all of the kelim, with any kelim that you have, be'melayim, be'rikanim, whether they're full, whether they're empty, b'shul shol tavar adaleika, so that it will stop the fire from spreading. Rabbi Yossi oser b'kli cheres chadashim meleim mayim. Rabbi Yossi will aser you if you're using new pottery kelim that's filled with water. They can't stand the heat, and they will shatter, and they will break. And what will happen is the water will put out the fire, and that is direct kibui. That is direct extinguishing. Sorry, my bad. I jumped the gun a little bit. Because they will break, and they will put out the fire. Okay, Amrav Yudamarav. Let's say you have a piece of clothing that started burning from one side. You can pour water on it on the other side. And if it goes out, okay, so it goes out. So for whatever reason, I remember I was in yeshiva once, and you had these hot plate covers. So some genius, took a towel. I think it was actually a bed sheet, a top sheet for to cover the hot plate. So obviously, long story short, it caught fire. So what we did was we threw it outside and put water all around it. Didn't put water at the end of it, but put water all around it so that it would go out on its own. It wouldn't spread. So here it says, Rav says you can even put water at the other end of the piece of clothing. Then obviously when the fire spreads to the wet, damp area, it will go out, and that's mutter. So Meisvei, hold on one second. I'll ask you a question. Talis shachas baza or mitzad echad. If you have a piece of clothing that caught fire on one side, poshta umiskasiba, you can take it off, and you can put it back on. Vim kavsa, right? And if it goes out, it goes out. Meaning you could basically to make sure, I guess you spread it out. Obviously, you shouldn't put fire on yourself, but you can kind of, you can wear it and put it on, and I guess that way it'll go out, I guess, because it's not all piled together. I'm not sure exactly. Or, and so too, Rachmana Tzlan, if a Sefer Torah is burning, you can unscroll it and start reading from it, and if the fire goes out, so then it goes out. Well, I guess it's one way to keep the fire from spreading. I'm not sure. But nobody says it's gram kibui. That's gram kibui. It's incidental or indirect extinguishing. But that seems to be indirect, right? Putting water on it seems to be more direct, obviously. So how does that work? So the Gemara says, Huda Amar Rishon Banana. So Rabbi Yehuda, meaning Rav, holds like the first opinion in our Mishnah, which says that it's mutter to throw this kind of goat, this fresh goat skin over the box that's burning, and that's right. It's a gram kibui is meaning that's a more advanced stage of gram kibui, and a more direct form of burning. Of extinguishing. So Gemara says, "Eimer damar Shimon ben Anas mipnei shu machrich." But gram kibui mi amar. But maybe Rav Shimon ben Anas doesn't hold that gram kibui is mutter. Maybe it's just because that this the goat hair or the goat skin is machrich. It's burned a little bit, but it's not burned a lot. But gram kibui mamish causing it to go out. Right? Water is will literally cause the fire to go out. Maybe he wouldn't hold it. That's mutter. So Gemara says in. No. He holds it. That's mutter. The Mizgtani Seifa. Because what does the Seifa of our Mishnah say? Rabbi Yossi Oser B'Klicheres Chadashim Le'Emayim. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to put pottery with water. Right? She'ein Yechol Nekavos Orim Mizbakim Nechavos Deleika. Because they're going to break and the water's going to spill out and they'll put it out. Right, that implies Michal the Tanakama Shari. Apparently, you see that the Tanakama, right, from the fact that your Rabbi Yossi has to say that, right? So he ossers it. So apparently, the Tanakama holds that is mutter, and that is where Rav based his statement on. Okay, Tanur Rabbanim. We're going to write down Ner Shaal Gabe Tavla. If you have a lamp or a candle or whatever that is on top of a piece of wood or some sort of candelabra base. Whatever it is, menaris the tavla vino fellas. You can shake the tavla, and the lamp can fall off on its own. Vim kavsa kavsa, and then that's one way to put out a candle. Obviously, not recommended because Rachman Litzlan. If it doesn't go out, you're in trouble. So em amri de Rabbi Yanai. So they said the base Rabbi Yanai l'shono ela b'shochech. That's only if you forgot and put the candle on that tavla in the first place. Avavaniach, but if you put it there on purpose, nasa basis l'davar ha'aser. So then that the tavla is a basis for something that is mukta, and that item, the tavla is mukta itself. As we mentioned before, that if you put a candelabra on, let's say some sort of silver or glass base, obviously on purpose, because you're going to light that for Shabbos candles, so it's aser to move it. The glass or the silver base is a basis. Right, the davra mukta, and just like the candelabra is mukta, so the base is also mukta, and has to stay there for the entirety of Shabbos. Okay, says the Braisa, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, says the Braisa, says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Nerusha, Chori Adeles, if you have a candle behind a door, now this is a little bit unclear exactly what's going on here, Rashi says, "Oh no, because there's another. Give me another case that where this is not a case where a candle is next to a door, and if you open the door, it'll go out. Well, we're going to see that that's going to be the next case, but it's. I'm not sure exactly the scenario. It could be that it's hanging on the back of the door. Either way, let's go with that. I'm trying to see over here. I don't really see a Rashi." I thought I saw it. I thought I saw it somewhere. All right. Either way, I think that's a pshat. That's hanging on the back of the door. As you'll see, the second of the next, there's another case coming up that's more common to what we have. Let's say, there's a right next to, let's say you light your candles, Shabbos candles, near the door in the area. But that's not what I was talking about here. This is, I think, a candle, if I'm not mistaken, on the back of a door. Poseach v'noa kedarka. You can open and close the door the same way, right, just to use it normally. Vim kavsa kavsa. And if it goes out, it goes out. Rashi says that we're not going to be concerned about the fire going out. And light Allah Rav. And Rav cursed this psak. Amalei, that's an overreaction. Well, we'll see what the Gemara is going to be. It seems like an overreaction. Amalei Ravina Ravacha Brei Derava. Farmile Ravacha Brei Derava the Ravashi. My time, a light Allah Rav. Why would Rav curse someone who does this psak? Elim Mishund Rav Savar Lak Rabbi Yehuda. If you tell me that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Shein Miskavin is Aser, that's Rashi says. So Vitala Katani like Rabbi Shimon and Natana holds like Rabbi Shimon, that Davar Shein Miskavin is Mutter. Right, again, what's the case? You have a candle on the back of a door. You open the door. What's your intention? What's your kavana? You want to leave the house. Do you care that the candle goes out? No, of course not. So that's Davar Shein Miskavin. So if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shimon, Mishund the Rav Savar like Rabbi Yehuda called the Tanik Rabbi Shimon Melayit Melat Lightly. What he's going Rav is gonna curse someone who holds like Rabbi Shimon. Samalei, no, because Baha, feel Rabbi Shimon Mode. Yeah, because here Rabbi Shimon agrees, the Abai Rabbah, Dharma Tevaya, Mode Rabbi Shimon, Psikresha, Vilayamos. Because somehow the way this case is constructed is that it's a Psikresha, that you open the door and it's going to blow out. So for sure, it's a Psikresha, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it is it's Aser. So for sure, that's why Rav cursed him, because even everybody agrees that it's going to be Aser. The question then flips back onto the Braisa, like, what was the Havamina? If it's a Psikresha, so that we're telling me that the Tanakama holds a Rabbi Shimon, And the Tana we just quoted, that's mutter to open the door if it's going to go out. Well, if it's a psik reisha case, so why in the world would it be mutter? So you got to say that it's almost a psik reisha case, or maybe we hate to say it's machlokes and metzias, but it could be that according to Rav it was a psik reisha, according to Tanakhama it wasn't. That's tough to say. Maybe we could hold. Maybe we could say it was almost a psik reisha, and Rav held that almost a psik reisha is a psik reisha, but almost according to Tanakhama, it, almost a psik reisha is not a psik reisha. All right, I'm not sure exactly how to. Yeah, I'm sure the Rishonim do talk about it, but I didn't really get a chance to look at it. Okay, either way, Amar Rav Yehuda. Is that where I am? Yeah. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda. Poseach Adam Delas Kenegad Amadura B'Shabbos. This is the case that's much more comparable to us. Let's say, certainly, let's say in my house. So if we light Shabbos candles in the living room, but in the dining room, but the living room is kind of like this, sort of the same room. And if you open the window at the other end of the room, so that could have an impact on the candles. Right? We used to have freestanding candles, and then because they used to go out, so we bought these like glass little cups, and now we have the candle kind of sits inside the cups, and therefore it's much less affected by the window. You don't have issues of that. The rest of Rav Yehuda said that, but Taga Rav Yehuda does say Poseach Adam Delas Kenegad Amadura B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to open up the window or a door or whatever, even though it's next to a fire. A Madura is already a bigger fire. Rashi said, but I'm not sure. Madura is maybe like, say, could be like a fireplace, but either way, some sort of fire that's across from a window or a door or whatever, and even though it may burn the fire. Here Rashi's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right. Rashi says, we're not talking about kibui, and it's not actually a great parallel to the case that I just said in my house, but Rashi says, "Kenegad amadura afal pi sheruach minasheves umavir haor." Here we're talking about a case where the wind will fan the fire and make it burn better. So it is talking about, in this case, I guess, is probably more accurate to say that it's talking about a fireplace where the wind will not blow it out, but will actually make it burn brighter, and that could be an issue of mavir. And therefore, and the Gemara says, "Light Allah abaye," and abaye cursed anyone who this psak. Gemara says, "But my askinan, what's the case?" If you're telling me that it's a normal wind, normal, common, found wind, so my time of the Rebbe, demand to Aser. Why would Abaye Aser this? Normal wind is not going to, really stoke this fire much. Right? Stop, a little nice breeze. It's not going to burn the fire so much, and it's not definitely not a psik reisha like we just mentioned. And if it's a wind that you would not expect, and it just comes up, goes flying in, so my time of mind is Shari. Right, meaning, who would? Why would Rav Yehuda allow this? Right, if it's a very, you look outside, the wind is blowing really, really hard, so you can't open the window because it's definitely going to stoke the fire for sure. It's going to make it more intense. So Gemara says, "Lolam Baruch Mitzuya." Rather, it's a regular. In general, really, it's a regular wind. And Mar Sover Gazurin and Mar Sover Lo Gazurin. And simply, Abaye holds that we're gozer. A regular wind, because you may come to open the window by a very strong wind. And Rav Yehuda will hold not that way. That you don't, that you don't need to go there, that people will open a window for a regular wind and be concerned that they'll open a window for a very strong wind. Okay, fine. Apparently Abaye felt it was very strong, that was a very common mistake, and therefore he cursed anybody passing like this, because people will very possibly get confused. Okay. We had said, we quote the Mishnah, Machlokes in the Mishnah, about whether Rabbi Yossi is going to allow you to take these earthenware pots filled with water. They may break and put out the fire. Tanakama said, we have pointed out that Tanakama says that's mutter. Rabbi Yossi says that's usher. So the Gemara says, Lamei madur abon and savri gram kiboy mutter. Right? That seems to imply that the Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, the Rabbanan, hold that it is gram kiboy is mutter. It's gram kiboy. You're not doing it straight up. You're doing it indirectly. Rabbi Yossi, summer gram kiboy osir. And Rabbi Yossi holds a gram kiboy, indirect extinguishing is osir. So the Gemara says, but we learned the reverse. And that's the opposite we learned. The Tanya, like Mother Derebraisa, osa mechitza bekelim rekanim. You can make a mechitza with empty kelim. Uvim malayin, she'in darken lishtaber, and with kelim that are full, as long as they're not usually used to breaking in front of a fire. And these are the ones that don't usually break, claim on tachas, right? We're talking about metal kelim that don't break in a fire. So that's mutter. Rabbi Yossi says, af klei kfar shichin u klei kfar chananya ain dark in the shtaber. Okay, even these kelim of these places that are made out of pottery, but they're made in these places, they're made very strong, so they're not going to break. But you see that, meaning both Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi say that it's mutter. And Rabbi Yossi, not only Rabbi Yossi say that it's mutter, he says he even is more makil. But he gives you other examples of kelim that you are allowed to put in front of a fire filled with water. So Gemara says, how does that work out? And our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is more machmir. He says you can't put these kelim in front of water. If you tell me that you should switch the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yossi the Brisa the Rav Gamar, and really Rabbi Yossi is just saying, according to the Chachamim, right, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, so that doesn't work. And he wants his Ibochlan. Right? Why? How could you? You can't really switch the opinions in the Mishnah. But Amar Rav Bar Dachli from Shmid Rav, Man Tana the Garam Kiboy Aser. Who is the Tana who holds that Garam Kiboy is Aser? Is Rabbi Yossi. Right? So clearly Rabbi Yossi does hold that Garam Kiboy is Aser. So what do you do with the Brisa versus the Mishnah? Ella La'olam Lo Tebach, really don't switch the sheet. Does the Brisa kula Rabbi Yossi? And really the Brisa is Rabbi Yossi. The whole Brisa. Forget the, you know, we had an implication, Rabbi Yossi's not make it. No. That's all Rabbi Yossi's sheet. V'chisuri Maksara, and it's missing some words. V'achigatani. And this is what it means. Oh, this is what it should say. Osim v'chitza v'kelim rikandem uvim v'layim she'in darkin l'shtaber. You can make a wall or a mechitza with empty kelim and full kelim that are usually don't break. V'elohim kelim de'in she'in darkin l'shtaber. And these are the kelim that don't break. Klei matachos. U'klik farshichin u'kfer karachananya nami in darkin l'shtaber. Right, so metal and the pottery of kfarshichin and or kfarshichin and karachananya. Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says, "Af kli kfar shichin or sichin." I'm not sure. Kli kfar chananya ain't dark on the shtaver because they do not break. But there's no implication from the brisa that Rabbi Yossi is more mikel. In fact, he is more machmir. He holds that gram kiboy is usher, and therefore the kelim that you put in front of a fire you have to make sure that they're not going to break, and then it will be mutter. Okay. V'rami derabbanan adirabbanan, and we have a stira between the rabbanan. And the Rabbanan, meaning Rishon Bananas and Rishon Bananas. The Rami Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. And we have a stira with Rabbi Yossi against himself. Tanya, like we learned in the Brisa. Right, we have a different Brisa that causes us problems. Shame, causes lo al basaro. If you have the name of a Kosh Baruch Hu written on your skin, right, you're writing with a pen, and like kids do, so, or whatever, they write the Shem Hashem on a person's skin. Hare lo yirchot v'lo yisok, you shouldn't wash it, you shouldn't anoint it. It's going to, you're going to erase it. You're not allowed to erase the Shem Hashem, as we'll talk about in a second. You can't stand where it's disgusting. It must be tough to go to the bathroom. And if you have to do a tvila shal mitzvah, some sort of tvila, maybe you became tome or whatever, if you have to be tovel, so what do? So korich aleh gomi v'yorei v'tovel. You should wrap some sort of wrapping over the Shem Hashem and then go down and go to the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, "L'olam yorei v'tovel kadarko." Really, you can just go down straight up. You don't have to cover it at all. You can just go into the mikvah. Uvil vachalei shafshef, as long as you don't rub it out. So you see that this is gram mechika, right? Your Rabbi Yossi says you can go put yourself in a scenario where the Shem Hashem will be erased, and you're not doing it b'yadayim. You're just dipping in the water. But so it's gram mechika, I guess. But Rabbi Yossi said that's mutter. And the Rachachamim say that's usher. You have to wrap something around it. You have to make sure, you have to go out of your way to make sure that you don't have indirect erasing of the Shem Hashem. What's going on over here? The Mishnah, our Mishnah said, the Rabbanan say, you can do Gram Kiboy, and Rabbi Yossi says you can't. Here, Rabbi Yossi says you can do Grab Mechika, and the Rabbanan say you can't. So what's going on? So Gemara says, Shani Hasam, it's different. It's erasing, right? You can't compare Kiboy on Shabbos and erasing the Shem Hashem. So the pasuk says, "V'batem es shemam in amakom mahu lo sasim ken Hashem alokeichem." Right, destroy all of avodah zarah, but don't do that to Hashem Hashem. So the pasuk says straight up, "Asiyahu the aser, but gram ashari." Right, you should lo sasim ken. Do not do this actively. Be a dying with your hands. Rabbi Yossi holds that the asiyah is asr, but gram mechika, doing it with a grama, that is mutter. So too by Shabbos, the pasuk says, lo sasa malacha, do not do any malacha biyadayim with your hands, with an action. Asiyahu da asr grama shari. Right, so it's only the action that is asr, and the grama is therefore mutter. So the Gemara says, that's true, you're right. But Rabbi Yossi here says that really Rabbi Yossi holds that it's mutter to do this gram, that a grama, that is something indirect, is mutter. But here, because since a person is very concerned about his money, if you're going to allow someone to do gram kibui, so that will lead to actual kibui. A person will therefore abuse that heter, and they will end up doing actually extinguish it, and therefore that would be a problem. So that's why Rabbi Yossi is megil by grama, but in our case by putting out the fire. So dafka is machmir because it will lead the people putting out the fire biadayim. That's obviously much worse. So then we solve Rabbi Yossi, but he hachi kashi the rabbanan the rabbanan. So we still have a problem with the rabbanan shita. Right? In the case where the Rabbanan are makil, where even in the case where people are concerned about their money, the Chachamim are not concerned that they're going to go from gram kibui to kibui. But Hakalo culture gains. So certainly over here, where you don't have any issues, maybe a person is concerned about his money, so why aren't the Chachamim makil by gram mechika, by erasing Hashem Hashem? Right? It's just a grama. You go into the mikvah, it just gets erased on its own. There's no concern about your fire or whatever. You may come to violate a malacha. No. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, v'tisvara. Do you really think? Does it really make sense that you have to cover your hand or your arm, right, where you have the Shem Hashem, to make sure it doesn't get erased? So Gemara says, Hagami Hechidami. What's the case of this wrapping? Right, what's the deal? Idim Hadak, if it's tight, so Hagami Chatzitza. It's a Chatzitza, right? We know you have to go to the mikvah. And you have to go to the mikvah, you have to make sure your entire body is exposed to the water. And if you have a chatzitza, so then you, what's it called? And it doesn't work. Ilomi hadak, and if it's not tight, so oil be maya. If it's not, the covering's not tight, so then the name is going to get erased, the water is going to erase it. So the Gemara says, chatzitza tevigle mishim dio. What do you mean? Hold on one second. Chatzitza? The wrapping is not a chatzitza, the ink is a chatzitza. You have to have your body exposed to the water. You have ink on your arm. You have to. That's also a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, no, the case is balacha. Really, the ink is moist. Is wet. Right? I guess it's going to be wet, but it was moist. The Daniel, like within the Reza, Hadam, Vadio, Vadvash, Vachalav, all those liquids, Yevashin, Chotzitzin, if they're dry, it's a Chatzitza, but Lachin ain't Chotzitzin. The ink is wet, it is not a Chatzitza, so therefore that's not a problem. But we still have a problem. What was the purpose of the covering? So Ella, rather, Amar Rava Bar Rav Shila, Haina Tamei De Rabbanan. This is the Rabbanan's Shita. The Kasavrei Asur Lamo Bifnei Hashem Aru. No, so the covering is not to make sure it doesn't get erased. Right, that has not to do with anything at all. It's just to make sure, because there's a separate halacha that you're not allowed to stand before the Shem Hashem when a person is naked, and you're going to the mikvah. So you have to cover up the Shem Hashem. It has nothing to do with it getting erased at all. So the Gemara says, "Mikal de Rabbi Yossi Savar Mutter Lamo Bifnei Hashem Arum." Does Rabbi Yossi hold that it's mutter? So Gemara says, "Demanech Yada Eluyas." No, Rabbi Yossi says, "Yeah, you would cover it with your hand." It's I the Rabbanan Nami Demanech Yada Eluyave. So why don't you do that according to the Chachamim? So Zilnin Demishtali Mishakilei, because sometimes you'll take your hand off. I the Rabbi Yossi Zilnin Nami Zilnin Demishtali Mishakilei. Rabbi Yossi also holds that you take your hand off. So that's ready. We'll stop here, and the Gemara is going to have to kind of reinterpret what's going on in this brisa. But we'll stop here for it, and we'll go back to tomorrow. But Mitzvah Hashem, it's tough to pick up in the middle of a discussion. But this is the end of the Amud, and okay, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll go back to Neilik Hashas tomorrow. Have a great Shavuot Tov, and a good Vach.